Welcome back to Shift with Beth. I'm your host, Beth Schild, and today's episode is one that I have genuinely been looking forward to for a long time because my guest is someone who is deeply personal to me. She's not just someone I admire, she's someone who showed up for me during one of the hardest seasons of my life, and she's been woven into my world ever since. Tracy O'Malley is an Enneagram expert, a coach, a keynote speaker, and the host of her own podcast, The Enneagram Edge. She has worked with executives and organizations all over the world. But what I love most about her is that she doesn't just teach the Enneagram as information. She uses it as a tool for real transformation. And in this episode, we get into just how powerful this system actually is. Because here's the thing, so many people think they know their Enneagram type and they're mistyped. The free tests or the cheap tests, the quick quizzes, they miss things. And when you're working from the wrong type, you're working from the wrong map. Tracy is going to break down what the Enneagram really is, why accurate typing matters, and how understanding your type at a deep level changes your relationship with yourself and with every single person in your life. The impact of that is real, and I am living it. So whether you're brand new to the Enneagram or you've known your type for years, stay with us. This conversation might shift something for you. All right, here we go. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Beth Schild, and I could not be more excited and honored to have this very, very, very special guest on the podcast today. So welcome, Tracy O'Malley.
Oh, I'm so honored to be here. It's so fun.
Yeah, so Tracy, well, we've already been talking for a while. I could just sit and chat with Tracy all day, but I wanted to share the story of how I truly feel the universe brought you into my life and how special you are to me with everyone listening. So, back in 2021, I had learned about the Enneagram. Yeah, 2021. I was going on a business coaching retreat and they required us to take the Enneagram test before going and we just took the Enneagram Institute. It's like a $12 test. And I was typed as an eight. Yeah. So I was mistyped, everybody. And this is, Tracy is known as just the Enneagram expert, and we're going to get into that more later. But it was one of those things where even though I was mistyped, and innate in my tri-type, which you can kind of explain that too, a lot of it did resonate, but it was a tool that, so when we went on the retreat, we learned everyone's type, we started learning about it. I could feel it in my body that this was something special, like this was something powerful. And it's like, why did we work on ourselves? I believe the more awareness we have of who we are and how we're wired and all the things, the more confident and empowered we are in life, right? So after that, I was like, I couldn't get enough of the Enneagram. And this is why I love Instagram. Like I kind of can hate on Instagram sometimes, but I just found you through the algorithm,
That's so great.
brought you to me. And then I realized I started following you. I loved everything that you were posting. And then I started listening to your podcast. And it was kind of around then that I realized like the eight wasn't sitting with me, really. And I was looking for a new mentor, a business coach to hire someone to help me. And I was like, I wanted to see if I could work with you. Do you know this?
Yeah, I didn't know that part. I mean, I remember our first little call, but I didn't
Yeah.
know what was leading up to it.
Yeah, so I'm still in my marriage at this time. My business is very new. And so I reach out to Tracy. We connect on a call.
You were leaving for Belize the next day. That I remember. I'm like, what are you doing?
Right. So I hadn't taken a family trip with my family because that was a year where we had been separated on and off like eight times. And I missed family trips. And somehow this Belize trip just was happening. And I was explaining to you that I didn't know whether to stay or go in my marriage. This is kind of what's happening. I'm also, my business is taking off. And you just listened. So something about Tracy, Tracy's an Enneagram eight, which is like the challenger, the bold, badass, like, don't mess with me. But Tracy, you just have this safety about you and this gentleness where it's like I knew that I could trust you even though I hardly knew you. And you said to me, okay, Beth, I hear you. Sounds like you're going through a lot. Why don't you go on this trip? It feels like you have some more things to learn. And then contact me a little later when you're ready for me. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do remember that because I was like, she's not ready for this. Like, you weren't
Right.
ready to take the action that I knew you needed, but you weren't, you knew you needed, but you just weren't ready for it. And I get
I
that.
was so, I was, it was chaos. I
It
was living in
was
chaos, fight or flight,
beyond.
beyond survival mode. And so I was like, okay, like I got the message. Like, and the way you delivered it couldn't have been more loving and kind and compassionate. So you were, couldn't have been more right. I had a lot to learn. So that was April of 2021. And I don't even want to get into it, but what I went through those next several months, finally in June, I chose to leave my marriage. I filed for a divorce. And then a couple months later, that's when I reached out to you again.
Yeah, September, I think it was.
And I was like, okay, Tracy, I chose myself.
All
I'm in
right.
the worst pain of my life, and I am ready to do the work to heal.
Yeah, you were. That's what it takes. You know, it's, I think a lot of times people will raise their hand and say, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. But it's like you're ready for a reprieve. You're not ready for the work that allows you to maintain a reprieve daily. Consistently. You know, a lot of people will come into something with me or recovery of some sort or counseling. It's because the pain is so intense in the moment, we just want it to stop. And then once we get a little bit of relief, it's like, see, I'm good. I can take a break now. Or we take our foot off the gas and it's like, well, you're going to get walloped upside the head again, even harder next time if you don't stay in this consistently. And that's why, like, I just won't do that unless I know you're kind of in it. Until and until is until you die. And like that's where the real sustainable accelerated transformation happens. Not everybody's ready for that. I certainly haven't been in my life in certain areas. And you know, sometimes we need the kick in the teeth over and over and over again for us to say, fine, I'm on my knees here. I will do whatever I need to do in order to learn a new way.
Right. And that's so true. It's like it had to get really so horrific for me to make the move. And
Yeah.
I needed all those lessons. And it just says a lot about you, the integrity that you have. You could have taken my money right then.
I could have.
And you knew that I wasn't ready. And that taught me a really valuable lesson, too, as a coach that wants to be in integrity with someone who's ready and to feel it and know it and say, not yet.
Well, I mean, what would that say about me if I did that and you weren't ready and you didn't get the transformation you desired? Not only would you not get what you need from this, it actually could escalate your situation even worse because now you know better, you're not doing better. The shame spirals, the self-loathing, the maybe this is as good as it gets. And I mean, I'm not here playing God or anything by any means. However, I take what I do and the responsibility very, very seriously. That this isn't about me being some coach and making money doing it. It's like I take the responsibility of people's soul, spirit, timing very, very seriously. And more coaches should do that, honestly.
Absolutely. So thank you for being that person for me. And then, so Tracy has her own blueprint to take the Enneagram. Do you want to just talk about that for a second?
Yeah, I too. I was introduced to the Enneagram in therapy 14 years ago in rehab. You know, I was, my coping mechanisms weren't great. I struggled with pretty much anything but drugs, to cope emotionally with life. And when I decided I needed to overhaul the coping system, I put all the cards on the table. And my therapist, Nancy, she's like, hey, I want you to take the Enneagram test. And I'm like, respectfully, Nancy, go fuck yourself. I don't need a personality test. I need help here. And she's an eight like me, so she didn't miss a beat. And she's like, my dear, like this your best thinking has gotten you here. And this might actually help you get out of the box that not only you put yourself in, but the world put you in. And I was like, well, touche, Nancy, you've got a point there. And I was also mistyped in the beginning. The same assessment you spoke of earlier, the Enneagram Institute. I mistyped as your type. You know, I mistyped as
Oh, you
three.
did?
Yeah. Which behaviorally, like if you
I
don't
never knew
know me,
this.
yeah, behaviorally I can look like a three, But the motives are completely different. And that's how I knew you weren't an A8 as well. Like, mm-hmm. I could see, especially at the time of your life that you came into my world, I could see, you know, that protective part of you. But like motivationally, you're not at all. Your energy is not like that of an A8. And so I was mistyped, and we knew, and I was excited about it. I was like, yeah, I'm a 3. Like, it's sick, cool. You know, and if you have that reaction, usually is wrong, right? Because when you're faced with what is true for you, it can be very convicting and jarring even sometimes.
Yes.
The truth and who you are. And so we were able to quickly figure out that's inaccurate for me. And that's the thing with online assessments and AI and the world.
Oh my gosh. The amount of people are like, just put it into, just ask ChatGPT what your Enneagram type is.
And it's wrong. In fact, I've had people tell me that chat now like tries to say, hey, go talk to Tracy kind of thing. I've had some people.
Okay. That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm like, talk to your chat about me specifically, because then they'll at least get a better shot. But what I would usually say to somebody is, please don't rely on AI for typing. Because if you think about this, if this is like your soul blueprint and you have the wrong coordinates for the framework that's attached to you, it's like wanting to go to Mexico, but you keep ending up in San Diego. And you like, why can I not get where I need to go? And when we're mistyped on the Enneagram, especially when you use it for the beautiful integration tool that it is in all areas of your life, if you have the wrong information, it's not going to stick. It's not going to land. It's not going to work the way that you want it to. And it can get frustrating. And so my assessment, you know, all the other online assessments are inaccurate 65 to 70% of the time. And in mm-hmm. the beginning, when I started doing Enneagram work specifically, 9 years ago now, and I've been a teacher and student of it for 14 years. But 9 years ago, I was using that Enneagram Institute assessment, but I would do interviews with people so that mm-hmm. I could kind of figure out, like, yeah, it's inaccurate. And my statistics of 65 to 70% were inaccurate as well. So now I have one that's over 95% accurate. And I would say I've been using that one since 2020. I've maybe had 4 or 5 that were inaccurate from mine, just one the other day, which I was like, wow, this is the first one I've had in a while that it was wrong. But when you have the right information, because the Enneagram works like a framework and a compass, and it, you know, you're more than just your type. That's where your home base is. But we do venture out and we want more range, and we want the right tool mm-hmm. for the job at any given day in any given situation. And if you have the correct information, you know what levers you can pull effortlessly with practice that allow you to have that range, that ability to lead, guide, love anyone, not just mm-hmm. people that you drive with. And, you know, because I think we learn most from those that activate us the most. So yeah, my assessment is 95% accurate, and it's beautiful. And within my assessment, we also go deep into the tri-type, which I think is like next level emotional yes. intelligence and critical thinking, because we do use more than just our type in our center of intelligence that we by design and default go to, you know. So it's really great. It's really, really
yes, great. There's so much. There's so much to the tri-type and your blueprint. I love it so much. So before knowing you, I had my clients take the Enneagram Institute too. It's sure. $12.
Yeah.
And yeah, once I found Tracy, and so I took, or I didn't even have to take your blueprint. We just did a coaching session.
Yeah.
This is, I have to say, so if you take Tracy's blueprint, you can do a one-on-one like reading with her.
Yeah.
And I still, to this day, one of my most favorite coaching sessions I've ever experienced in my life, because I'm actually an Enneagram 3, the Achiever, right? But the way that hour or so that we spent together, the way that you described the wings and the way that you saw me, it was a big pivot for me to learn it in that way. And then now, any one-on-one client that comes to work with me, I require them to take your blueprint, because I get to know them on a deeper level so much faster. It makes everything makes so much more sense.
Well, and when you're doing the kind of work that you do, you're going to activate people, and some of these defense mechanisms and patterns might show up. And if you kind of know what you're working with, you'll know how to gently guide them through that without like these extremes one way or the other. And it's so much more effective. You could, you know, especially if people are paying good money to work with somebody, like they want to move fast.
Right.
They want to feel and know and taste the transformation. Mm-hmm. And when you see somebody so fully with this beautiful tool, you can go right to the root of things a lot faster.
And that's I love that. That's what Tracy does. She gets right to the root. Right. So we had that session. Then I was ready to sign on with you. We did 6 months of really deep work together one-on-one. And I talk about you in my inner child work episode. The way that you taught me inner child, all the past versions work, the queens, my little bees, and the way just the whole process was so beautiful and transformative. I saw my life in a way that I didn't see it, couldn't have seen it before. And so without getting too into it, like what we would do is I would check in with my past versions and this memory started coming in. And at first I was like, you want to know this, Tracy? You're like, yep, share it with me. And then we figured out where I learned the patterns that I learned and how they repeated in my marriage, in my parenting, everywhere. But like well before, like I was so at that time hurting from my marriage.
Right.
Focused on how could this happen? How could this be happening? And you were like, okay, I hear you. This has started way back, way, 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 way back. Let's figure this out.
For somebody like that to come into your life and do the destructive stuff that it had, you had this in you long before that. He was just a symptom of all of that, and doesn't excuse any of his bullshit or any of the things that happened, right? But like that's your part in it. And like how, you know, so for somebody who thinks they attract a lot of narcissists, right? Like, yes, the narcissist has their own accountability that they absolutely should face. But in order for a narcissist to be able to leech into your life, there's a role you play and a part you play that you have to be accountable for, right? You can't just say, well, I'm a victim of this. And yes, you've been victimized, no question about it. However, if you don't look in the mirror and recognize with compassion, kindness, and curiosity, right? Not judgment, criticism, and shame. When you can look at yourself with, which we did with your little queens, right?
Like, oh my gosh.
Of course you did. Of course you attracted somebody like that. Mm-hmm. Now let's work to change it. Like, we got you. We're not judging you for that. You didn't know any different. When you can face that accountability with yourself and take charge of that in your life, you know, you're able to heal it and break the pattern of that kind of toxicity in your life.
Right. Can you speak to something I love that you say all the time is you repeat what you don't repair.
If you don't repair it, you repeat it, or it gets repeated, or both. Right. Because if we don't repair it, we repeat it. And guess what? If you're a parent, it's going to also get repeated. Mm-hmm. And I know like that was a huge motivation for you and huge. Me as well, because, you know, we both have daughters. We both have sons, mm-hmm. right? And the thought for a moment that either one of my children would repeat some of the stuff I hadn't repaired was life or death to me. Mm-hmm. And I was willing to go to whatever depths I needed to, because my kids were about 14 or 15 when I went really deep. They were 3 and 4 when I started this journey, but the real excavation started when they were 14 and 15. And I had already started to see some of those unrepaired things getting repeated by them. Mm-hmm. A little bit different, same package, just different wrapping paper. And I was like, you know what? They're going to do what we do, not what we say to do, right? And, you know, you and I kind of grew up in the era, and I know most people listening right now grew up in the era of do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
That is the biggest crap and bullshit any parent could ever say, but it's the generation that we grew up with. And I knew that to be true because I was, you know, talking the talk, but I wasn't walking the walk. And our lineage is going to walk the walk that we walk. And if you're not in integrity and you're too self-righteous and too much in your ego to realize that when shit hits the fan with your kids, like, you have only yourself to look in the mirror and take ownership for. And that's really hard. Really, really hard. So, you know, that was my main motive in really doing this work and being somebody with not just good intentions, but pure integrity, at least 90% of the time. I mean, we're human after all. Like, my, right. You know, it's a continuous excavation. But, you know, the greatest success I've ever had, and I've had a lot, you know, but my greatest success is breaking those generational things that weren't repaired for many generations before me. And I decided the buck stopped with me. And thankfully, my kids aren't repeating a lot of that, and neither am I, you know.
Yeah.
That's the greatest gift you can give as a parent.
Totally. And I would love to get into that, because you really helped me through my parenting through all of this too. And gosh, girl, you just were there for me through the hardest time.
And you have four very unique, beautiful, incredible children that have experienced a lot of stuff and watched you tolerate a lot of stuff, right? And I know, like, sometimes as parents, we think we've already fucked them up, you know?
Right.
But it's never too late. And that's one thing I remember telling you. It's not too late. I don't care how old they are. Like, you have to model this. You have to own this and show them a different way. Granted, they may remember some of the ways you used to do things and try it because it's familiar.
Of course.
And muscle memory is no joke sometimes, but it's kind of like working out muscles. You have to, like, put the reps in for it to stick. And the longer they watch you put those reps in, the more likely they are to lean into that, if not now, later.
Yeah.
If not right. Later. So it's worth it, even if you don't see the payoff in your kids right away, especially if they've seen the contrast. And for those of you that carry a lot of shame about maybe what your kids have seen, witnessed, experienced, I want you to know my kids are almost 30 now, and they thank me for the ability to have experienced half their life with me kind of not as repaired and healing, and the other half of their life with this very accountable version. They love both equally, and they have a lot more compassion, not only for other people, but especially themselves, because of what they've experienced, the polarity and the contrast of mom pre-raising her hand saying, I'm committed for the rest of my life to healing, versus the one that was like, not my problem, not my issue, you know? And, you know, so for those of you that are parents and carry a lot of that guilt and shame, I promise you, it's never, 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 never too late.
Wow. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's like, the greatest gift my kids give me is telling me that, because, you know, you never know how it's going to manifest later.
Right. And sometimes when I say, like, I showed you this behavior for a long time, but I'm showing you different now.
And, like, I think there's a beautiful opportunity there, you know, age appropriately, of course, you know, for my kids to understand. Not to make excuses for myself by any means, however, understand what was taught, told, and modeled for me, you know, because what is familiar becomes your truth. And what was familiar for me growing up was a very toxic, alcoholic, emotionally neglectful home with abuse and, you know, shit hitting the fan on any given day. And I developed, you know, safety strategies and coping mechanisms to survive that. And I think in excavating a lot of this, you know, my kids got to understand the history, not to excuse things that weren't okay, but to understand and be like, well, that makes a lot of sense. And this makes a lot of sense why mom is changing the history that happens in our home so that we don't have to unlearn as much. And actually, the things we have to unlearn, we can carry with us through a heart of compassion and empathy and grace and service for others. So it's a beautiful journey when we hold ourselves accountable. And, you know, I love the term radical honesty, but I think there's a big asterisk that needs to go in there, that is compassionate radical honesty. You know, I think most of us have no problem being radically honest with ourselves, but we pull out the whipping stick of shame and criticism, that inner critic, you know, the bully teenager inside of you, the bully parent that maybe spoke that to you, the asshole on the playground who called you Tracy Trash. Thank you, Denise Richards. Yes, the famous one. She was the one who bullied me in grade school.
What? Yeah. I haven't heard that story.
Yeah, it's a crazy ass story. But I think that that's why this is so important. Oh. And it's never too late. Ever, ever, ever.
It's never too late. Yeah.
A living amends is one of the greatest gifts you can give anybody that cares about you. Mm-hmm. It's like, when I know better, I will do better. And that is a promise.
And that's a big thing that I teach with my clients now too, is how important repair is. So like something happens and you don't handle yourself in the way that you wanted to, right? Yeah. You project your trigger, you act in a way that you didn't want to. And then what happens is people just sweep it under the rug, don't talk about it later. I'm like, no, this is where the magic is.
It is.
It's when like, you're back
don't
into
ask,
it.
Don't tell, don't ask, don't tell. But it's like, no.
Yeah. Take accountability, show your kids, like own it. And then that's what creates that connection with our kids. And I love when you talk about your kids, you can feel your relationship with your kids. I got to meet your daughter in person. I got to see your connection with her. And for me, like the reason I do this work, yes, it's been for me, but it's for my relationship with my kids. And can you kind of talk about how the Enneagram has helped you with your kids and like shifted things as a parent?
It changed the game, honestly. When I was in rehab, obviously, when we realized I was the 8, the biggest aha I had is like, oh, I know this language very, very well. I know this home base very, very well. And I've been speaking to both my children as though they live in the same home base of their soul blueprint. And the biggest aha I had is, you know, I was very well intended, even at my worst. My intention was always pure, right? How many times do we hurt somebody's feelings or, you know, we get into a disagreement? It's like, well, I didn't intend it that way. Well, that's great, but that's only part of the equation for solid communication and care for a human, right? You have to be in integrity. And if we're in integrity, we are taking into consideration who is in front of us at a soul level, right? And I hadn't taken that into consideration. I didn't necessarily know better. I knew they were different, but like, you know,
Right. You were operating from what you knew.
Yeah. And, you know, this term making mini me's out of ourselves, like that's an insult. Like, and I was like, I will never call them mini me's again because they're mm-hmm. mini them's and they deserve to be seen, heard, understood, and valued for who they are and who they were designed to be. And the fact of the matter is I had so much to learn from their unique, beautiful perspective in which they see, process, value, get activated by the world. And when I was sitting there in rehab, I was able to discern very quickly that I'm raising an Enneagram 2 and an Enneagram 7. So I'm the challenger, which is very intense, motivated with instincts and things like that. And my son is like the empath. Highly sensitive, all water sign in his birth chart, you know, and a man, right? All I was raised with was toxic masculinity. And my son is the opposite of that, right? And I realized that me just energetically walking into a room without checking that could really, really dysregulate him in a lot of ways. And I didn't, my intention was never to that. But again, I have to take responsibility and integrity for the energy and things that I bring into any space. And of course, it's my son. I care deeply, deeply about him. Mm-hmm. And so I worked really hard to understand, you know, I would say things to him like, who cares what people think, you know, but guess what? Twos do. And that's what makes them incredible. I mean, you're with one, right? It's like what makes them absolutely spectacular human beings is that they care deeply about people. Now, do they give too much validation to outside sources? Sometimes that's their blind spot. But, you know, I just started understanding kind of what was at the core of who he is and what motivates him and what fears he has. And same thing with my daughter, the enthusiast. I used to like low-key judge her silently, But energetically, I wasn't fooling anyone. Like, why is she all over the place? Like, can't she focus on anything? She's like a squirrel, you know? But like, she's this free-spirited, visionary, innovating kind of soul. And instead of seeing that all over the placeness as a bad thing, it's like, how can I help her channel all of that visionary spirit in a way that respects who she is without trying to change her? And so I came home armed with understanding who they were. I didn't tell them. They didn't know for another 5 years about the Enneagram, but I just spoke as though I knew with certainty that that's who they were. And I knew I was right. And overnight, the culture in our home changed. Granted, getting sober absolutely helped that.
Right.
And learning new emotional coping mechanisms that weren't so alarming and jarring and aggressive and intense all the time. However, like every single human, starting with my children that is put in front of me, I try to see them and the world through the lens that they operate from. And because I did that with my kids at 14 and 15, they started coming to me for all guidance, all wisdom, because they knew I would guide them to their own inner wisdom as well. Like, yes, I am, you know, wise counsel, but you know, I don't want them fully reliant on me for the rest of their life. I'm not helping them if I'm just like the little Yoda in their life. Mm-hmm. My goal was always to guide them to their own inner wisdom because it is different than mine. I'll bring something else to the table for sure. And guess what? They teach me so much about empathy and compassion and grace and playfulness and free spirit and visionary. Like those don't come natural to me. You know, but because I am raising them and I understand they're both connected to me on the Enneagram as well in my framework. So it's beautiful to have real life living examples of the beautiful parts of me that maybe I hadn't accessed because of a lot of the shit that I'd been through. And I believe that we are delivered the children that we are here to learn from, to heal with. And mine are absolutely that. And they're the greatest gifts of they saved my fucking life, honestly. Mm-hmm. They really, really did. And I'm so thankful that I was willing and honest and open enough for learning new ways so that I could really not only nurture the gifts of who they are, but benefit from the healing that they provided me and continue to.
Wow. So beautiful, Tracy.
They're amazing. They're absolutely incredible. And they have healthy relationships and healthy boundaries and confidence and kindness. And like, I just like, if God takes me tomorrow, man, I did real damn good. And I'm really proud of that every day.
Yeah. How does it feel to be able to say that?
Best thing. My biggest fear growing up, honestly, long before I even had kids, my biggest fear was fucking up my children. You know, like,
because I think we all have that fear if you care, right?
Yeah. I mean, I knew kind of what I grew up in and I didn't want to repeat that. And I started to, you know, like, and I even moved 3,000 miles away thinking, see y'all, I'm moving out of Chicago. I love y'all. You're great in a lot of ways, but you're a toxic mess and dysfunctional as all get out. And so I really believed that I could just move somewhere else, set up shop somewhere else and like nothing else to do here. And sure enough, you know, kids are also very activating and they bring up all those inner child
that
you thought were healed, buried, taken care of. You know, I know different, so I'm not going to do the same thing. And it just does not work that way. And so, yeah, it's really great to be able to say that. Not only did I not fuck them up, I have given the world a beautiful version of two incredible human beings on my influence. You know, they've got their own hearts and minds and spirits and all the things, but my influence has been very impactful in a good way in the humans they are.
And what a gift for them to have a mom that knows that they're different than their mom, that their mom can see them in a way that it's not like you're expecting them to be like you or to think that they need to be like you. Right. But it's knowing them at that deeper level. And I mean, I think I haven't had my kids take the assessment that's coming, but I've pretty much figured out what they all are, you know?
Yeah.
And so, that's just so powerful with the parenting is to know that.
Family interventions and family workshoppy kind of stuff is some of my favorite work. You know, even though I do this professionally and with big companies like Google and John Deere and Facebook and smaller companies, like professionally, I love doing this human people puzzle work. But I'll always do work in the home teams because that's where it all started for me. Like, and we,
Yeah.
you know, we're holistic beings, and even if we want to grow professionally, if we're not growing on this emotional, holistic level, like, yeah, you might be crushing it over here, but something's going to give over here. And my goal with everyone is to kind of like use this in all areas of your life so that it feels really good everywhere.
Yeah. So I want to share a story about so when we did our work together, I was consciously single and all of that for a long time.
Good decision.
And yeah. Fast forward, if Tracy would check in on me, she's like, "You're still not dating, right?" And I'm like, "No." And she's like, "Good." But fast forward to like 2024, and all in that time too, I brought you to my Sedona retreat where you facilitated for a day the Enneagram, which was amazing. And I had a client on that retreat that had been mistyped from the old assessment. So when you got there and she was like, "Wait, I'm not a nine, I'm a two," it was like mind blowing. Oh, that was, I love bringing you on those. But fast forward 2024, Tracy's speaking at a mastermind, and it was so good to see you. I went last minute. It was shout out Rebecca Caffiero. So I show up there, and we hadn't connected for a little while, and so we were talking, and you had told me this was August of 2024. You said, "So what's going on? Are you dating any, and I was like, "No, I'm still not dating." And then you told me in that moment, you said, "I waited too long."
7 years.
Yeah. You're like, "I waited a long time. I know I told you this," but you're like, it was almost like you kind of cracked open a little bit of a door for me, almost giving me permission, like, I can see you're in a good space
You don't
and
need to be
just
afraid of it.
right. And you told me that. And so it was shortly after that that I kind of opened myself up a little more. And then Randy came into my life. So
So
I
good.
knew when I started dating someone, like, they had to take your blueprint immediately, right?
I remember that.
But I was like, I didn't want to, I'm not going to make him take it. But like, luckily, of
Hey,
course.
welcome to our first date. By the way, this is kind of a prereq to go any further.
Basically, that's what it was. No, but I had told him about you and all the things, and I was like, "If you're interested, like, I would be curious as to what your type is." And so I just sent him your link, and that's all I had to do. And he was like, "Oh, I'm totally taking this, right?" And so then he takes it, and I'm DMing you. I'm like, "Tracy, what's his type?" Like, I was so proud because not only did I type him, but I figured out his tri-type. But do you remember this? I wanted your approval, not that I needed it, but like.
I know. And he's very, very much the opposite of everything you have not only married, dated, grew up with, parented by. Like, he's absolutely everything your soul needs.
So when you found out that what his type was, were you like, "Okay, she's okay, she's good"?
Yes, as long as he's healthy, right? Like, because any type is good with any type, as long as our levels of health are good, at least a good percentage of the time. You know, like I said, we're all human and we'll have stuff come up. But like an unhealthy two can be really not great. You know, there's our mutual friend Lindsay was dating one. And, you know, you think twos are like the compassion and empathetic,
The
and they are
helper,
the
yeah.
helper. But there's also a lot of conditional giving and conditional loving. And so, although, yes, a two is a good energy, but if they're unhealthy, they are very toxic as well, you know, all types.
Every
So,
type unhealthy is toxic.
yeah, like, and any healthy type can work well with any healthy type, you know. So I was curious to see how well evolved he had gone in his own personal development and emotional work, and I was just so pleased in meeting him that not only is he accountable to kind of his own stuff, like he's continuously doing the work to, you know, do what he needs to do to be the best version of himself on any given day. And that's all we can ask of anyone, you know.
Right.
That's
Oh
all
yeah, I
we can
should
ask.
say that I had Tracy come to our home and do a couples session with us.
My favorite. I love
it. Oh my gosh. It was so incredible. And our only regret was that we didn't record it because the way that you were explaining each of our tri-types and how we can work together and what to watch for. I mean, Randy will still be like, this is your seven in you, where you get all the ideas and visionaries. And like, you know, he helps like kind of rein that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But we love talking about it. It has brought us so much closer together, more connected, and having you come in. And so it's like, I mean, you can fly to people and you could do these sessions, like couples that are wanting more connection and having this tool. Like, I can't imagine not having it.
And like it's one of these things, like if you do the blueprint, it's great. It's like, I just handed you the map, right? But if you're not good at reading maps, it may not be as helpful, right? Like, So think about me as like the VIP tour guide. And, you know, I'm with you every step of the way, guiding, not only guiding you through the map, but taking you through it in real time, in real situations in your life. And I don't know about you. I mean, I grew up in the era of having to read maps and stuff. It's why I was always fascinated with like the Atlas. I was always like, how does this all connect? And it was really beautiful. Like when I was in rehab and I found the Enneagram, or the Enneagram found me, I felt like this divine, huge moment of like God say, like, I've been waiting for you to be responsible enough to not only be a good steward of this information, but to guide others through it. And it's like, okay, so like, it's one thing to have the information, but if it's new to you, like it can feel like you're reading a foreign language and you won't necessarily know what to do with all that information. So even 90 minutes with me can accelerate your understanding of this, and also like in person or virtual, like,
right. Virtual is powerful. I mean, it's powerful too if you're not local.
Totally. But I've gone and done like family. I like interventions. It's not a bad thing. Interventions is a really good thing to break cycles and change up patterns. Like intervention, you don't have to think of like, it's like dark and gloomy. It's actually a really good thing. I love doing those with families. I love people that start that, just like you. I've done a lot of these where people just start dating and on their first date, they talk about this and one or the other is like, hey, I want you to do a session with my friend who is like masterful. And then I'm like, okay, this is a good one. This is where you're going to get, where you're going to trip up and all of that. And I also do this for people that hire, you know, I'm the final interview for a lot of people.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if you think about it, when you're hiring somebody and you put them on a job interview or you're reading the resume, they can polish that shit up and tell you everything you want to hear. So having me as a final interview or the gateway to a second or third or a lifetime with somebody, I'm, you know, because I come to it objectively. I'm here to kind of, I'm like the people PI, you know?
Totally.
And I just kind of lay it out for you. And this is like, you can choose to do this, but this is kind of what may come up, and not a bad thing necessarily, but if you don't know it, like, at least you kind of know what might come up and how to kind of guide yourself through that. And as a couple or as, you know, business partners or mentors, things like that. So it's very beautiful when used in integrity. And like the thing I say a lot with any tool, but especially this one, all tools can be used for a lot of beautiful things. And every tool that I've seen out there can be weaponized as well. And when you choose to do this, and it's why I know I didn't have it in my vortex any sooner than I did, because I would have used it irresponsibly to control, manipulate, protect, you know, all the things. But if you think about it, like the Enneagram could be weaponized. A chainsaw can be weaponized. It's a great power tool to clear the path, but it's in slasher films. The Bible even is a tool, and we've seen that weaponized and used for good. So the intent and the integrity in which these tools are used is where all the magic happens. And please, if you ever dive into this, only use it for good. Only use it for good. And with good intent and pure integrity.
Yeah, I love that you said that. Something else I would love for you to touch on, if you're open to it.
Yeah.
is so a lot of people, a lot of listeners and people that follow me are hoping to find love later in life or after heartbreak. And I would just love for you to share a little bit of you. Okay. And you don't have to.
I'm open.
I would love for you to share your love story and maybe just whatever you want to share about that and how the Enneagram, like again, the Enneagram is just, it's such a great tool for all of this and how it was hard for you to open up.
I don't know if this relationship would have made it or been as really intimate on every level without me understanding this. And, you know, I was married for 14 years and I've been divorced for 18, you know, I've been a solo parent for, you know, since my kids were 9 and 10 and the sole provider for most of it as well. So it came with a lot of stress. And then I dated two different people after my divorce. And I even waited a few years after my divorce, about 2 years, to start dating. This is before I got sober. And, you know, I hadn't dated since I was 20 years old. You know, I met my husband when I was 20. So, you know, there's that.
I get that.
And I was now 34. And it's like, how do I do this? And I don't know how to do this. And I still am bringing all my own baggage to the table, right? So I only dated two people after. The last one that I dated was a really good person. But, man, he was my father in a lot of ways. And he was younger than me and not emotionally mature. Good person, but like, and because of my unhealed codependency and stuff, man, I just was super destructive in it. So, you know, it hit a breaking point, which is with my kids, it hit a breaking point just all across the table that, that's when I decided to go to rehab. That relationship obviously fell apart. And for the next 7 years, I did not go on one date, did not, you know, nothing. You get what I'm saying? Nothing.
I get what you're saying. So, yeah.
And that was like, you know, cause I had, you know, obviously in doing you know, an active recovery program and still do to this day, like I understood like taking personal accountability, you know, that living amends, it's like, wow, even though each of these men in my life did me dirty in some way, you know, I wasn't being accountable for my part in that dynamic.
Right.
And I knew I had to really understand my dynamics that I brought to the table that was taught, told, modeled for me. You know, if you don't repair it, you repeat it. And for the longest time, I was like, I don't want to bring that into another relationship. And so I was very conscious about understanding myself, so much so that it's like, you can understand all you want, but you can't build the muscles unless you're in the arena, right? And my son, my sweet Enneagram 2, was brave enough at one point to say to me, because he sees the work that I do. He sees the impact that I make. But he asked me this question, Beth. He goes, Mom, do you ever feel it's out of integrity that you guide couples and you haven't been in a relationship in a long time?
Oof.
I was like, you know, you're not wrong. Not about integrity, but like, it's one thing in theory to guide people. It's another when I'm actively guiding myself through the challenges of every relationship, especially a romantic partnership. And they were also at the age like, Mom, like, thank you for being so available for us, but like, it's your turn too. Like, you deserve,
oh, I love
you deserve that.
That.
And so like energetically, I was like, okay, I'm open. You know, I declared it to a few friends that were like, are you going to be a solo the rest of your life? Like, we all know you don't need anybody, but like, is that what you really want? I'm like, no, it's not what I really want. And they're like, well, you might have to leave the house a little bit. I'm like, and so I joined.
That's the hard part.
Yeah. I'm like, you mean they're not going to just come and knock on the compound door here? And they're like,
yeah.
And so I knew like online wasn't necessarily for me. I'm not knocking it, but I just didn't want to do that. So that meant I had to put myself in situations where there's an opportunity to come across other people. And so I joined a business networking group to get around entrepreneurs and, you know, business-minded people that are growing themselves. And I didn't even really join it for business. I joined it to just get out of the house, mm-hmm. to meet women friends
that were in different industries than me and let the chips fall where they may. So I didn't plan on being in it for very long, but I kind of intuitively knew that somehow, like, somebody's going to show up here for me. I just knew it. Mm-hmm. And I had been in it for over 2 years and not a soul had walked through that was kind of for me. And I had decided I was going to resign from the chapter. And I was like vice president and everything of this. I didn't want that, but of course ended up being that. And then
no surprise there.
Yeah, I'm like, seriously, I can't avoid it if I try. And I decided, like, okay, my business was getting really busy and I needed the day that this took up. And my friend was like, please just stay till the end of the year. Just like, you can not be vice president anymore, but please stay with us till the end of the year. And I was supposed to leave like 3 months before that. I'm like, fine, I will stay, but I don't want any responsibility. I just want to kind of hang out and be amongst all these really good people for a few more months. And then I got to have my day back. She's like, cool. Sure enough, 2 weeks after what would have been my last day, my guy walks in the door as a guest. And it was wild because energetically, I felt something shift in the room before I even saw him. And at the time, my uncle, who was my person growing up, he was my safe person as a kid. He had been put on a ventilator a few days earlier, his end stage of cancer. And so when this energy walked in the room, I thought my uncle had transitioned or something. I felt that strong presence. But all of a sudden, I started to feel this energy actually moving towards me. And sure enough, I look up and there's this 6'2", handsome devil, beautiful energy man right in front of me. And I got a deer in the headlights because that was the energy that I felt. And he was just there as a guest and somebody told him he needed to talk to me about something. And I literally was like, I can't speak. And that's not me. Like,
I was going to say that is not you.
No, I'm pretty rock solid. So he left and literally that night or that day I left that meeting and got the call in the parking lot that my uncle, they were going to take him off life support the next day. So I flew out to Chicago. On my way to the airport, that guy from the networking event shot me a text. He was asking questions about our networking group. And I ignored it. I ghosted him on it. Part of me, because I was preoccupied with obviously going to be with my uncle, but also I knew that this was presenting itself to me. And God is like, you said you were open and ready. Are you really?
And were you scared?
Terrified.
Yeah.
So I didn't answer it and forgot about it, honestly. And 5 months later, right before the end of my last day at the networking thing, he came back in as a guest. And this time I wasn't afraid of the energy. I was giddy. You know, a lot of stuff.
I feel this.
Yeah, a lot of stuff had happened in those 4 or 5 months. And he walked in and I was like a giddy girl, excited. Because I knew he's my person. I just knew. I know that sounds fucking weird. And
I don't think it sounds weird.
But it was funny because in therapy, I mean, I've seen Nancy now for many, many, many years. And she would push me on dating. She's like, I think you should practice date. And I'm like, Nancy, no offense. Like, I know you're a pretty solid therapist here, but like, I don't need to practice date. I know how to date. I'm not afraid of it. However, I don't want to be distracted by things and people that aren't for me so that I miss what is for me when it shows up. I promise you, I will be ready, open, and available when he shows up. So I wouldn't practice date like she wanted me to. And sure enough, he walked in and I wasn't distracted. And so when he came back in, you know, he could see like my friend that had talked me into staying was like, oh my God, he's so cute. You know, she'd been trying to match me with people. I'm like, stop it. So I was like, oh my gosh. So I started, I'm like, I think he had messaged me. All of a sudden it came back to me. I'm like, I think he messaged me somewhere. So I'm like looking on LinkedIn. I'm looking on Facebook. I'm like, where is it? So I'm like, maybe he texts me. So I remembered his first name. And so I dropped down my text messages, did a search. And sure enough, there was the message sitting there unanswered from 5 months earlier. And I was like, you jerk. You are such a jerk. And I got the meeting left. He scooted out of the room. So I got to the parking lot and I sat in my truck and I pulled up his Facebook and I was like, okay, I need to see more here, but I need to be friends. I need to be friends with him in order to see more. So I'm like, fuck it. Add friend. And within seconds he accepted. And so for the next 6 days, I talk about the people PI. I mean, I should have been a private investigator because I literally, and it was coming from a place of not trusting that I could trust that this was okay for me, you know?
And after so many years
and, you know, my own toxic shit that, you know, I had experienced and at day six, like God was like, listen, you are more than equipped. You don't need any more information. You're going to spoil the fun of this, getting to know him. Trust yourself. You can trust yourself. And so on day six, I finally pulled up my phone and I pulled up that text and I wrote, so apparently I'm an asshole. It's not like me to pull a dickhead move like this and ignore somebody who has a very valid question for me that I have answers to. So if what you asked still applies today, let me know. And I promise it won't take 5 months to get back to you.
Aww.
In 24 hours, he responded and he laughed and he said, you're not an asshole and not a dickhead, but at least now I can sleep at night. And he said something, he goes, I didn't realize it at the time, but since I've been following you the last few months, I realized that I met you for a lot of bigger reason than what I originally thought. And so for the next few months, we just communicated. Like he even asked me, he's like, do you coach men? Like he wasn't flirty at all. And which was really, really good way for me to ease into
yes
this. And he had just come out of like a 20-year marriage as well. So like he was in his own stuff with that. So for a few months, we just talked like friends, didn't see each other in person or anything. And then about the 3 month mark, right about Christmas, he said his first very cute flirty thing. And from there we spoke till 4 a.m. and for the next few months we just talked, didn't go on a date until like 5 months to the day after I sent him that text message back. So we really got to know each other without the physical chemistry in person, because there
which
was
is
a lot,
so
a lot of chemistry.
Yeah, that's yeah. That's such a beautiful part where there's no,
because
none of that energy.
We both would have blown through any kind of boundaries that we had. I know that for both of us, just the emotional intimacy and
right.
And I really wanted to trust. And I was very vulnerable with him about a lot of things, and he was with me too more than he ever been. So our first date was March 10th, 2020, which was the day before the world shut down for COVID. And obviously then COVID kind of made us slow roll our process a little bit, which was a beautiful thing. And now here we are 6 years later, blended family, probably not going to get married. I don't think either one of us need that. It's fine, you know. I don't need it. It's a lot of paperwork for me at my age. You know, I'm 54 years old and I never, it's weird though. I will say it's weird being 54 and calling somebody a boyfriend.
Right. I feel the same way. I'm like, it's almost so like, it feels like embarrassing. Like
it's embarrassing, but it's funny. You know? Like he's,
I say partner. I say partner now. I had to get used to partner, which I didn't
that
love that either.
Too. I'm like, he's my lover.
Well, I could not be happier for you, Tracy. And you were so quiet about this.
Oh.
Like, I had no idea about him until...
I didn't hard launch it for years.
For years.
I know.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like we could do a whole other thing on this. But, like, what do you feel like you've learned the most from allowing love into your life again after so long that you could maybe touch on?
Even somebody that guides people through, you know, self-awareness and emotional intelligence and communication and all the things, the real arena that everyone needs to get in is in relationship, right? Not necessarily like tolerating the wrong ones for you.
A safe relationship.
Safe relationship. And even the safest of relationships are some of the most triggering relationships. Right. And it doesn't make it bad. right? But it's how you deal with those triggers. And you could either see that these triggers are an opportunity for you to grow and learn and show even more vulnerability about yourself, which is terrifying as hell. Or
yes.
project your shit, or you're gonna, you know, not be accountable and point fingers. Like, but this is like the reps build the confidence, and the reps really grow intimacy. Intimacy is into me, you see. And you can't do that in theory or in knowing. You only do it in the practice and the reps that you put in. And although we had built a really solid foundation in those very early months of really getting to know each other, like when you're in it, it's like, okay, this is where the rubber meets the road. And I'm so thankful for my understanding of the Enneagram. He also was mistyped originally.
What was he mistyped as?
A seven, which I can see behaviorally. Mm-hmm. It's in his tri-type, but he's actually a four, which I was like, oh boy, of course. Of course, I get the most emotional and
You know, deep feeler.
Sensitive. Yeah, which is what I love about him. But also, you know, when he is not doing great, you know, there are things that that type does that really trigger me. And when I get triggered, usually my armor goes up. And so recognizing that because he's doing this doesn't mean, you know, he's rejecting me or pushing me away. And because I know what's happening, I can communicate to it and help him grow, but also help me stay in the arena instead of sabotaging it, playing the stupid bullshit games that we do in relationships sometimes, and just keep it the real. And, you know, for 6 years, we have done the real. And it's been really, really hard when you blend families and have some crazy ass co-parenting situations going on and your own shit and menopause and all the things.
Oh my gosh, girl.
I mean, it's a whole thing, but my commitment to stay in the arena has really abundantly blessed us both and our families. So it's worth it, as hard as it is, even with the greatest people for you. The greatest people for you will trigger you the most, you know?
Right. Right. Oh well, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
I love that side of you.
I know.
It's, so
I
much.
It, I mean, I do keep it private a lot, but I think it's really important also, you know, it's sacred to me. But I also think there's a lot of learning others can do through the experience of divorce and, you know, repeating the patterns. Even though I divorced one, I started repeating a lot of the stuff that I hadn't repaired. And the time it takes to repair, I think absolutely there is time that is required before you rush into it.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think anybody needs 7 years. However, I'm glad I did wait. I don't regret it. And I'm really glad that we took it slow and didn't rush into it. I'm a romantic at heart and easily could have gotten swept up into like, holy crap, this is my guy. And, you know, I could romanticize it all I want, but like the real work is in the real everyday stuff. And I get to live this out, you know? And
I love it.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well,
and my kids love it for me. Like they are so happy. And for them to see me be treated and honored the way that I've always deserved, they've carried that into their relationships too. Like it's a good modeling for them to see as well.
Yeah, that's been one of the most beautiful things for me, for my kids to see me the way I'm being treated and cared for.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Well, this was amazing today, Tracy. You are one of the most special people in my life. And I just want to thank you like for the safe space, all the knowledge that you've shared with me and the way in which that you shared it with no judgment, with compassion, with patience. You really have such a special, special gift. And I would love for you, I mean, I'll put it in the notes too, but like, how can people find you? What are the different types of ways that they can work with you?
Yeah. I mean, I can do all sorts of things. Like obviously the blueprint is a great starting point, but if you know you want like the VIP guide, like just book the session and you'll get the blueprint automatically. Like that's a great starting point. If you have businesses and stuff like that and you have team dynamics, I am masterful at helping with that.
So incredible.
Masterful. Like You can put all a cluster of different personalities in a room, and I will have you all making sense of each other and really effectively working and communicating with each other, which is the root of everything. Like I said, I do family and couples work too. It's really important. I have a podcast. I'm on the Instagram. I have a Substack. So for my longer form writing, you can find me at all those things. But you can go to TracyO'Malley.com and it connects you to all of it.
Yes, yes. Oh, I can't wait for everyone who hears this to go do some, at least do the blueprint, like minimum. You got to know your type. So yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
It's such an honor to witness you, guide you, and just love you fully. You're amazing.
Thank you, Tracy. All right, we'll see everybody in the next episode. Okay, that's a wrap on today's episode. And honestly, I could have kept that conversation going for hours. If you don't already follow Tracy, go find her. She's at the Enneagram Edge podcast and at Tracy_O'Malley on Instagram. And if you want to take the Enneagram blueprint that I require every single one of my one-on-one clients to take, the link is in the show notes with a code for you to save some money. I promise you, it is so worth it. And if this episode resonated with you, please share it with someone who needs it. Leave a review if you haven't yet. It genuinely helps more people find this show. And I will see you in the next episode.